Want to discuss tonight a number of related interlocking questions, really related to Pashup Shana of the Gemara, halachic nafkaminas, halachic ramifications, some of which you'll see discussed in the Piskei Tshuva this week, although there's considerably more literature on these questions than the Piskei Tshuva himself brings. The Gemara, which is the source for all these halachas of Ani Mahapech, the Gemara has three anecdotes. The third anecdote is the one of Rav Gidal. Rav Gidal accidentally bought a field that someone else was working on. When he was accosted and taken to task for it, he justified himself by saying, "You're right, but lo havi yadana. I didn't know." So the Dayan, Rav Yitzchak Nafka, told him, "Hashtanami neisvim li halaymar." So give it back. Amar lei, "I can't. It's bad luck. Lo misam na milsa. I'll offer it to him." That wasn't accepted, and it ended up in limbo. Three or four interlocking questions. First, in the halachas of Ani Mahapech, is there any difference after the fact whether it was done l'chatchila or b'diavad? And obviously, we can't blame someone for it, you don't know. But at this point, is there any difference between whether he was a rasha and did something he shouldn't have done, or whether it was b'shogeg, as the case of the Gemara? Second, what in general is the force of Nikra Rasha? What does it mean that you're a Rasha? What does it mean, L'chatchila? What do we do to you, if anything, to stop you from going ahead with this act of Rishus? And B'dievet, if you've already done it, what can Beis Din do to you after the fact, if anything, to get you to give it back? So these questions are all related, and we'll discuss now some of the Shitas in the Poskim, how we deal with people who are contemplating doing an act of Rishus before they do it, after they do it. So the post can bring the Haggos Maimonides. The Sma, very briefly in the beginning of Reish Lamed Zayin, the Sma says, what does Rasha mean? Machrizin alav beis haKnesses sha'asa ma'aseh rasha kazeh. We publicly announce in Shul, which you see in other places in Chosh Mishpah, but was a place they made announcements and even regarding sordid financial dealings. That was where they took care of it. They had to have a public thing, and they did it in Shul. The Haggos Maimonides is really the source of this, and he brings it in more dramatic detail. Pasek Ravon, Shaposkim Dino Kein Lakroso Rasha, we call him a Rasha, Upasel Eidus, a point we discussed last week. Haggos Maimonides rules you're a full-blown Rasha to the extent of being Pasel Eidus, and also for Shvua, Kenegdo Nishpa V'Notel, you lose the right, the privilege to take an oath in Beis Din, and with the consequences that entails. Ad Sheyashu Merisho, until you do Tshuva, the Kabel Dino, etc. That's the sheet that goes now. Many, as many posts can bring it down. The Sma and many Acharim just bring down Machrizin that he's a Rasha, but there may also be consequences with regard to Psul Eidus and Psul Shvua. Now, what can Beis Din do, though, to enforce, if anything, what can they do to enforce the Chatchila that you don't be a Rasha and B'dieved that you unwind your Rishus after the fact? So, regarding B'dieved, we begin with a machlokas between Rabbeinu Tam and other Rishon. The Ritva that some of you may have seen last week, the Ritva brings the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam that someone who is a Rasha and takes a property that he shouldn't have, does a deal that he shouldn't have, based and compels him to return it. And the Ritva himself disagrees. Muki Yosef, perhaps other Rishonim, most Rishonim disagree with Rabbeinu Tam. The consensus of the Achronim is against Rabbeinu Tam. Most Acharonim say that B'dieved, Beis Din cannot force the Rasha to give up what he took. The main raya they bring is from the Gemara in Kiddushin itself. The Gemara says that when Rav Yitzchak Nafcha accosted Rav Gidal and asked him, "What are you doing?" and he defended himself and said, "I didn't know," he told him, "Hashtanami, give it back," and he said, "That's bad luck." So the Ritva and the other Rishonim ask, what kind of answer is that it's bad luck? If you're mechuyev to do something, you can't make excuses and say that it's bad luck. A chiyuv is a chiyuv. Rav Gidal could never possibly have made such an excuse had he been mechuyev to give it back. Now, one answer given for Rabbeinu Tam, this is mentioned by the Sheres Yosef and the Ramatz later, is that Rabbeinu Tam himself only meant that based on his mechayev you to give it back if you took it b'mezid, knowing that you were doing wrong, you were deliberately a rasha. Since in the case of the Gemara, Rav Gidal did not know he was doing anything wrong. Therefore, Rabbeinu Tam never said in that case that Beis Din chayav him to give it back. So this is a major limitation on Rabbeinu Tam. Even Rabbeinu Tam only said that you have to give it back in the case where you were a Rasha, you went in with your eyes open knowing that you were a Rasha. The truth is, it's really somewhat hard to understand the Ritva's Raya against Rabbeinu Tam in the first place. Mukhi Yosef brings the same Raya in Bava Basra. The Raya really is somewhat hard to understand. Because, okay, let's say we reject Rabbeinu Tam. Let's say we say that you're not mechayev to give it back. Basin is not mechayev to give it back after the fact. But a Rasha you are. So, again, if Rav Gidl is really a Rasha, if the halacha is that even someone who did a peshog, that even someone who did a peshogig is a Rasha, and we call him a Rasha, just the patient's not mechayev you but the Evan, then again, what was Rav Gidl's answer? It's bad luck. You can't be a Rasha because it's bad luck. So unless you say the terrorists of the Sheris Yosef and the Ramatz, that since it was Bishogeg, he was not a Rush at all, and therefore there's no Chiyav at all to give it back, what's the answer? Even if there's no Chiyav, even if Basin is not Machayev, you surely he wouldn't have wanted to be a Rush. He wouldn't have risked being a Rush just because it's bad luck. And indeed, there are other Achronim, the Chemda Shlomo, who says that this entire Gemara is not going Mikra Din. When Rav Yitzchak Nafka told him to give it back, he was talking about Mokhiv to give it back Mikra Din. The Chemda Shlomo learns that Peshogig, not only does Rabbeinu Tam not apply, you're not even called a Rasha Peshogig. Even afterwards, Basin will not call you a Rasha, will not pressure you under the threat of Rishas to give it back. When he did a Peshogig, there's nothing wrong at all. You didn't do anything wrong, and even Lechatil, you don't have to give it back. Midas Chasidus, you should give it back, especially if you're an Adam Chashuv. That's how he learns the Gemara. He says, when Rav Yitzchak Nafka said give it back, he meant it would be a nice thing if you gave it back. And he said, all right, if it's a nice thing, but I can't do a nice thing if it's going to cause me terrible bad luck. But a chiyuv of Adana, the way the Chemda Shlomo explains, the entire obligation to give it back is a consequence of being a Rasha. And if you're not a Rasha, because it was Bishogig, so Nafla Yisod, Nafla Binyan, there's no chiyuv to give it back at all. There's no Rishus, there's no chiyuv, there's no anything, because you're a Shogig. And the entire Gemara is only a Midas Chasidus. But the other poskim, the poskim who ask on Rabbeinu Tam, they seem to learn that it's Mikra Din. Indeed, there's similarly we find in the Tshuva of the Ranach, Rabbi Eliyahu ben Chaim, among the early Achronim, he's not even discussing Rabbeinu Tam, whether there's a Chiyuv and Basin to give it back. He's just discussing the basic question, can we call somebody a Rasha if he did a Peshogig? Absolutely yes, he says. That's the Gemara of Rav Gidl. He says that when Yitzchak Nafka told Rav Gidl give it back, he meant the law of Rishus applies to you. Even though you did a Peshogig, unless you give it back, you would be a Rasha. Mikra Din. Not like the Chemda Shlomo. Ramosha also says that, Ramosha argues at length, you'll see the Tshuva perhaps later in the week, Ramosha also argues at length that the Gemara was going Mikra Din. The Gemara meant the Din of Ani Mahapik applies to you, even though you did originally Peshogig. Ramosha is not discussing whether Basin is Mechayev you or not. He just discusses between you and God, are you going to be a Rasha if you don't give it back, even though you did a Peshogig originally? And the answer is yes. So these Achronim all learned, Ranach, Rav Moshe, that seems to be what the Ritva assumed, that the Gemara is Mikra Din. So for some reason, they ask in Rabbeinu Tam, if it's Mikra Din, why isn't there a Din Chazara? They don't explain why they themselves, even if they disagree with Rabbeinu Tam, they still say that you're a Rasha, so they don't really explain. If the Gemara is Mikra Din, if you don't say there's a Chilek in Shogeg and not, and you assume that even B'Shogeg, you still have the Din, but you have Vani Mahapech, why is there no Din Lekrosa Rasha? Why would this have been an excuse? Why would this have been an excuse to be called a Rasha? They don't really explain. So I'll call upon him, just going through the basically what we have. There are two ways to learn the Gemara. Either Yitzchak Nafka was telling him, Mi'ikra Din, the full force of Ani Mahab B'Charara, the Avera lands on your head, or he was telling him only Midas Chasidus, because he was not M'chasha perhaps. If it's Mi'ikra Din, he could have been telling him one of two things. Either he could have been telling him, Mi'ikra Din, you must give it back, I'll be Mechayev you to give it back. But then the Rishonim asked, and there wasn't really much of an answer to that. The other way to learn is he was telling him that we can't make you give it back, but at least we're telling you that you're going to be a Rasha if you don't give it back, and that somehow for that, there was an answer that because of the bad luck, that somehow alleviates the problem of Rishus. Now, a couple of other related points. The opinion of the Marashdam, Shmuel Di Medina, contemporary of the Ranach, he says that all this discussion in the postkim aside about whether after the fact, we call you a Rasha, we don't call you a Rasha, you did it in good faith, you didn't do it in good faith, or in Tam Shita, the other Rishonim Shita, all that, he says, is only relevant after the fact. L'chatchila, says the Marashtam, if Basin sees someone is heading toward doing something which would be considered Rishus, there's no question, he says, that Basin would step in and stop him, and not just call him a Rasha. Basin would do whatever it could to prevent Rishus. The whole discussion is only b'di'evid, what remedy is there for Basin, what remedy is there for you, are you still called a Rasha, but l'chatchila, there's no question it's absolutely usur, and there's no question Basin will enforce that. This is brought by all the later Achronim. To the extent that Basin has the power, Beis Din certainly will force you l'chatchila not to be a Rasha. One other svara, a very interesting svara, I don't know if this is halacha l'maisa or not, although I've seen it in at least two or three of the Gedolei Achronim. One of the many poskim who says that b'di'eved, we don't pass like Rabbeinu Tam, that b'di'eved, we don't force you to give it back, is the Masas Binyamin. This figure was discussed by a bunch of early Achronim, the Marshal, contemporaries of his, the Sheris Yosef, who has a tshuva to the Marshal, Masas Binyamin, another contemporary. The Masas Binyamin says that b'di'eved, we don't go like Rabbeinu Tam, we don't force you to give it back, all we do is call you a Rasha before, after, but we don't force you afterward, ex post facto, to give it back. And the Masas Binyamin uses the picturesque language, he says, trei katli lo katlisli. With two deaths, we don't execute someone. Once we're ready calling him a Rasha, that's it. We're not going to also force you to give it back. Okay, that's a poetic phrase. Some Achronim, the Hari Besamim, and the Marsham proposes this also in his Mishpat Shalom, seem to take this very seriously. They say, the only reason we don't force you to give it back, the only time we don't force you to give it back, is if we're actually calling you a Rasha. They were dealing with a situation which is kind of the opposite of what we're used to in the United States of America. We have the idea that freedom of speech, we can call anybody anything we want. We can't actually force them to do things. We can't infringe on their economic rights, but certainly we can call them whatever names we would like. Libel and slander laws we have very strong speech protections here, as long as it's true, as long as you're not, you can call somebody a Russia. In the 19th century, it was just the opposite. The governments were very machped on cherem, they were very machped on calling people Russia. Based in Kapaskin Dine Maunas. But Cherem was out, you see that in many Sfarim, and calling somebody a Rasha was not acceptable either, apparently. So the Marsham and the Har B'Samim both say, given their inability to call people Rishayim, even in a formal Beis Din setting, maybe we should force them to give it back. Because if we take the Masas Binyamin's language very literally, the only reason we don't force them to give it back is because instead we're hitting him by calling him a Rasha. If we can't do that, okay, we'll do the other option then, we'll force them to give it back. They both seem to have very serious tzadim, not 100% sure, especially not the Marsham. They both seem to have very serious tzadim that we will force them to give it back if calling him a Rasha is actually not an option. One last maramakam appears in a couple of tshuvas of the Sfardim, North African. Tshuvas Karnei Re'em, Rav Rafal Ankava, and Rav Yosef Verdugo. They had a deliciously cynical case they were talking about. There was a fellow who was the trusted business agent of a wealthy non-Jewish banker. He was in charge of making the loans and overseeing the whole banking operation. And he was apparently a crook. He took money, he took kickbacks, payoffs from the clients, from the people who were borrowing money. He wasn't actually stealing money, but basically to not report bad credit. He says if he saw somebody lost his job, batal mimalachto, or he saw somebody was suffering financial reverses, halachim mismotate, he took a little payment from them not to report this to the boss so they can keep on apparently receiving credit. He wasn't actually taking money away from the owner, but he was basically suppressing bad credit. So someone else reported this to the boss, that your trusted business agent is crooked. The boss, understandably enough, was furious. Also, lots of poetic language here. He says, Hetiv Charalo, he fired him, of course. He says, Ish Shlomo, the man I trust, Ochel Achmo, who eats my bread, Higdol of Ake, if he betrays me like this. So he threw him out. So the injured party, who did not deny, apparently, that he was indeed doing the things he was accused of, but he promptly took the informer to Beis Din and said, you cost me my job, you humiliated me, I want compensation. You can't do this. So the poskim, Rav Berdugo, Rav Ankava, had a discussion back and forth, various different sugyas, Masira, slander itself, Boshes, Anim Hapi Pacharara, he cost him his job, Yari Lumnuso. So one of the questions was whether at least we should call him a Rasha. And based on our sugya, the poskim, the consensus of the poskim is that if someone takes away something from somebody else, we call him a Rasha. And the Rav Rafal Ankava starts right away by saying, and this is actually a point made by the Marshal, the early poskim is, as we discussed in Yari Lomnus, the issue is even if you take it for yourself, if you just maliciously hurt somebody else and you don't take it, the informer didn't take away his job. He just reported that he was a crook and went on his way. It wasn't actually that he stole his job. He says, Kol Shenitz Aser, you just hurt him. You didn't even do it out of self-interest. You just maliciously hurt your fellow Jew. That's terrible. Ani Mahapech. So So the question is, should Beis Din at least do this thing of calling him a Rasha? Should they at least announce that so-and-so is a Rasha for costing a fellow Jew a job? So Rabbi Ankava has a couple of reasons why you should not. One of them is, he says, in general, we don't really practice this halach of calling people Rishayim today. Not because it's illegal, just because it's, you know, Beis Din doesn't have the same authority and power that it used to, he says. In general, he says, we're not so machber on this. We find other areas of halacha where we say that Beis Din simply doesn't have the power that it used to. For example, he says, al pi halacha, litigants are supposed to stand, dayanim are supposed to sit. We don't do that. We have litigants sit in the Din Torah. And the famous language of the Rambam is, ein banu koach lahamid mishpatei adas al tila. We don't have the power to be as tough, as dominating as we used to be. So he says that we don't really call everyone Rishayim today. But moreover, he says, a very interesting svara, he says the whole idea of calling somebody a Rasha is not simply because it makes us feel good. We called him a Rasha, he deserves it. The reason you call somebody a Rasha, he says, is pressure to undo what he did. All these cases, he says, the reason we call the person who took the field, took the property a Rasha, is because he should be giving back the property. And even if we pass an alak remaining time, we can't force him to, but at least we can call him a Rasha and hope that the moral suasion will induce him to give back the property, he says. In this case, he says, the guy was fired. The guy is not coming back. So calling him a Rasha won't accomplish anything. He's not going to get his job back. All it will do is to penalize the guy. That we don't do. But, and this is the most cynical part of the whole tshuva, in the very last line, he turns around and says, however, he says, if it's possible that if the informer goes back to the guy and says, you know, I'm sorry, he's not really a crook. I told you that because I had a personal feud with him. I think you should hire him back. If calling him a Rasha could make him do that, then there might be a good reason to call him a Rasha, if we can get his job back. Now, he was a crook. He says that explicitly other places in the tshuva. Nevertheless, it was wrong to cost him his job, he says, and if by calling the informer a Rasha, we might be able to induce him to recant what he said and get the guy his job back, then maybe there would be some basis for calling the guy a Rasha.